playing online and on smart devices. Now on London Scotia Radio, it's podcast time. I'm George Matlock. Hello and welcome to listeners to London Scotty Radio from the London Scotty Club. Well, today we've got a very special news bulletin, a news flash, in fact, about a missing Scotty. Anyone who's ever lost a Scotty, even for an hour out of their sight, knows what I'm talking about when we say that this is an incredibly, incredibly upsetting moment. Well, we're going to find out some good news, we hope, today, as we welcome to our airwaves Andrea. Holmes Skinner, who is from the St Albans area, so just north of London. First of all, a good morning to you.
Morning.
It's great to have you on the programme. And let's start with the good news, because people will be anxious to know. Has your lovely dog, your Scotty Tinker, been found?
Yes, we found her very early yesterday. She spent a day at the vets on a drip, but we were able to get her home yesterday evening, and she has had a lovely night's sleep.
Fantastic.
So she's very perky now.
Fantastic news. So this all unfolded on Monday, of course, the 1st of July, at least for us at the London Scotty Club, when we had a message that came through, pinged through from Kath Marchbank at Stex, saying, keep your eyes peeled, and if you see or hear anything, please get in touch. She included the campaign poster, and she obviously did her finest to communicate to all our members. We were all, of course, very anxious, very concerned by this news that a Scotty's gone missing. When did you first realise that Tinker wasn't anywhere you could see?
Well, I wasn't actually walking her, which was the worry. I have a dog walker one day a week, and it was just on that day that I happened to be 2.5 hours away when I got the call to say that she was missing. So, you know, I had this quite frantic sort of travel across London, to get to where she was. So, and by that time a search was already underway.
So you were in central London at the time. You got the call, and then you drove obviously as fast as you safely could to get back to St Albans.
I was actually down at the Hampton Court Festival, which was just opening. It was a work event that I was attending. Mm. So I was actually had to get sort of three trains to get back. So, you know, it was hard to keep in touch. So, yeah, a journey that takes over 2 hours, but it felt like a lifetime.
Of course.
Just wanted to get there and find my girl.
It's a bit like one of those dreams that you have where you're trying to run away from something and your legs just don't take you fast enough. It's that sort of sense of frustration. I'm sure you were very anxious to get home. So this happened on, was it on Monday, the 1st of July?
That's right. Yeah. Monday. And she'd been on a lunchtime walk.
Right.
And that's when she sort of, quite out of character, but sort of bolted, really, because she's normally, you know, stays by your side. So we don't know what spooked her, but she'd taken off, and she'd actually crossed an incredibly busy road, which filled us all with fear, and sort of got into someone's garden. And actually, we only knew that because a car had to brake heavily for her.
Good
and
Lord.
And the drivers of that car, dog lovers, just knew she was a pet and just followed her up this track to the house, sort of to say, I think you've lost your dog. And they said, well, we don't have a dog. But that was the first sighting, and it was really important because it meant that we knew Tinker was actually the other side of the road, because I don't think, you know, we would never have probably searched there.
Now, just tell us, which road is this? You say it's a busy road. How busy?
It's busy, and it's a stretch of road. It's a road that links two towns. It's one of those rural roads, no speed cameras.
Right.
So
it's an A road.
There at all hours.
An A road.
Yes, is it? I don't know, but the cars are going 60, 70 miles an hour.
Right, yeah. So it's a dual carriageway by the sound of it. Yeah. Gosh, well, so...
Well, it's not. People just speed.
Oh, they just speed. Okay, so what you're saying, you're admitting that people actually drive too fast. It's probably a single carriageway.
Absolutely.
Right, so it's probably 60 yes, mile an hour and they're going a bit faster than that. Okay, well, but I get what you're saying. There's no speed cameras and people take the chances and they drive very fast. Luckily, these particular people on the road were a little more responsible, as you say, braked heavily. But then that tip-off must have completely changed... how you felt as the hours went on, that you then had a lead to go with. So when these people approached the house and it turned out it wasn't their dog, what happened? Well, that was still on the Monday, was it?
That was on the Monday, yeah. But really, just moments after she disappeared. I don't think, you know, there wasn't a concern for a lost dog, but the owners of that property had posted on the sort of village network to say that, you know, they'd seen the terrier in their garden. Don't think that had quite been picked up, you know, but I sort of picked it up when I got there and checked with her and got her location. And actually, an incredible family. They have let so many people come and go in their garden, search parties, people with drones. You know, we've camped out overnight. They've got a large property with sort of woodland and, you know, quite dense undergrowth, so, you know, perfect for hiding, terrible to find a dog.
Yeah. So, but great neighbors, but nevertheless great neighbors to have, and very cooperative, and thankfully so, because it's not always like that. Sometimes neighbors are like, well, I like cats, you know, or I don't care too much, and they'll look the other way. It's your problem, not
That's
mine
it.
Kind of thing. So it is important that neighbors do cooperate, do help, and do understand with compassion, you know, what you as a dog owner are going through. Now, you must have been you know, at wit's end at this point, as the days moved from Tuesday to Wednesday. You tried everything. I know you did a Facebook campaign. That's how we were told about it from Kath at Stex. And then did you ever, I mean, you were obviously worried about that road, the fact that you knew which side of the road to be looking, but of course a large area to cover and rural to boot. Did you ever give up hope, or were you convinced that she was still in the area?
I always felt, because she'd been found in that garden, or sighted in that garden rather, that if she'd got herself there, I just felt she, you know, she might just stay there, be marauding around. My daughter got a train down from Manchester to be with us. She loves Tinker, and we had other family members searching and looking. I think on Wednesday night, we were both in tears. We were exhausted, and I think we were just feeling like we were losing hope, and that we would never find her. And we'd been out all day, putting posters out and doing all that thing. And you know, my daughter had got incredibly upset because one sort of man in a van had seen her putting a poster up and had sort of said, "Oh, well, I expect your dog's just dead somewhere," which was just so cruel, and it upset her for the rest of the day.
Of course.
I was up then searching from sort of 5 the next morning, and I got a call at 6:45 from a lady whose partner had spotted Tinker, and that changed our whole way of thinking about the search.
Before we just go on to that and how that dynamic changed, one quick thing. We just before we went on air, I mentioned to you that we've sadly had to do interviews like this before with other dog owners who've lost their Scotties. Sadly, one in the West Country to whom we've never heard any more, and we genuinely believe that that dog has never been found again, which is terrible. But you were saying a little bit of, you were reflecting on that thought yourself, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have to consider the possibility that, you know, they've been hit by a car, or, you know, they perhaps have got, you know, she had a collar on, perhaps she'd got entangled and couldn't get out from where she was, you know, or worst of all, she was just going to starve, or I don't know, or being predated on somehow. It's just the not knowing, which is just awful. I don't know where we would have been if we hadn't had that sighting.
Now, obviously, the insensitivity of passers-by, as the man in the van you described, is a good example. But if anything, if you were to find the dog and it wasn't in good shape, at least you know what happened. You had kind of closure. But of course, you don't want that. You want to find the dog healthy and well. So tell us now what happened after that, because you had that further bit of a fragment of news. And that re-energized you, presumably, and you carried on with the hunt.
Yeah, and the curious thing was she was she'd obviously gone in quite a triangle and was further away from where we thought she would be. She'd also crossed the main road, but the guy that had sighted her had seen her sort of sitting by this road back on the original side where she'd started. He'd actually had to travel back the same road and she was still there. So he had stopped and, you know, I think he wondered, as she was sort of so still, that maybe he, you know, might be able to, I don't know, usher her or something. But then she sort of bolted across that road again. No, it was very early in the morning. The road is much quieter. But it still gave us, you know, one, we knew she was alive. And two, we sort of had a bit of an area, and that meant we could concentrate a little bit more there when it came to drones the next day. And, you know, and sort of decide, we were thinking, we're sort of 4 days in now, she must be hungry. And we started to think about, you know, creating a food station for her and somewhere for her to we wanted to attract her to a place.
So she's a basic, from what I follow, what you said, she darted across that road at least three times, from what we know, back and forth.
Three times at that stage, yeah.
Yeah. With the technology of drones and everything else, it becomes a real dog hunt. It sounds incredible, really, with today's possibilities, how we can try to narrow down the you know, where the dog is. But you said she was further away than you expected. Where was she, or how far from home was she, do you think?
Because she hadn't disappeared from home, I'd always thought it would be unlikely she'd be able to get home. So she'd actually gone in a direction further away from home. But interestingly, she'd gone to an area where there is a dog agility centre and there is stabling. And interestingly, and something we only found out on the night before we found her, there is a family that owned some large sort of security dogs, actually. And we were a bit worried about her going on that land, until we met the person who owned the security dogs, and we found out that she knew Tinker from walking with my dog walker, and that Tinker knows these big dogs. So she'd actually, I know, it's one of those incredible things that you sort of think, well, maybe Tinker just knew that scent of those dogs. And this lady had been out looking all week as well, and we didn't even know. And she'd been sort of with the favorite of her dogs that Tinker gets on with. She'd been walking up and down this lane, sort of scenting it herself. So, you know, you have so many guardian angels when this happens. And the community I live in have been phenomenal. You know, Tinker is, so everyone is coming up to me and sort of, you know, they're so happy and emotional, you know, that she's been found and been worried all week.
It's wonderful. So wonderful when you have a community
really
like that.
And yes, very lucky.
So then fast forward us to the moment, the capture, right? The moment that you found her. Now, you got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, took the car, right? This would have been, what, Friday morning?
This is Friday morning.
The 5th of July, right? When everyone else is still up, when everyone else is still up watching election night in the UK. But you had other things on your mind. So off you went in the car, probably still dark at that time, isn't it? 4 a.m.
You know, it's not. And that was the incredible thing, because I went to bed at 2 a.m.
Right.
Having been out searching and making some flasks together, because I knew we were going to have a, you know, a tired morning in the car. And we set off at 4 a.m. We'd arranged to park in someone's driveway where we had a good sight of this lane. And we got there, we sat with all the doors and boot open, and so we had a vantage point. We'd scented, we'd drizzled sardine oil and bits of sardine up and up the track, and we kind of hoped that she would sort of make it to the car and maybe hop in. And then suddenly my partner sort of said, "I can see Tinka." And that moment was, unluckily, where I was sitting in the car and we were trying to be so quiet, I couldn't actually see her, but my daughter and my partner could. And they were saying, she's sniffling about in the lane. And, you know, they said she doesn't look injured. And, you know, already I could barely contain my emotions, you know, but I knew I had to just stay quiet, and we just had to watch her and see what she was doing. And she did that for a little while, and then she sort of hopped back into bushes, and, you know, we then didn't know if she was going further afield. We waited about 20-25 minutes, and whilst I think a lot of advice is to sort of stay put and be patient, it sort of got the better of me a little bit, and I decided to walk down the lane. Sort of, I wanted to get towards the main road in the hope that if she popped out, I might be able to usher her back away from the road. And I very steadily walked down the lane. I resisted the temptation to look in the bushes where I thought she was hiding. And it was my partner and daughter that were watching, and they said, as I walked past, she sort of poked her head out and she was watching me, and then she started to follow. I stopped. I didn't know this, but I stopped to turn round, and I saw her, and we sort of, our eyes locked. She was about 20 yards away, but then she darted back into the hedge. And I just, oh gosh. And I resisted calling her. I did a few more steps, turned, she was back out, but then she jumped in the hedge again. No. And I just thought, go on, sorry.
listeners probably at this point will be somewhat bemused, and we need to sort of help them out a little. So first of all, people listening to this might think, well, this sounds more like the behaviour of a dog that's looking to be repatriated with its owners, but rather a convict who the police are trying to capture at night. and is trying to give them the dodge. We need to put this in context. Obviously, still a young dog, as I understand it, but Tinka...
No, she's nine, actually.
She's nine now. Oh, bless. Nine years old. Okay, well, she's old enough to know better then in that case. So she's a nine-year-old Scotty, but she has she's a rescue from Stex. You've had her for, what, 3 years now? And yes. Do you think that this apprehension may have been the reason? Because I think we've already worked out that this wasn't a matter of shock or anything. It was rather that perhaps there are other things going on there.
I think so. You know, we all think we know our dogs very well. So I'd got her when she was 5 years old. She's an ex-breed dog, so she's not terribly outdoorsy. She'd not had that life, and she's, you know, she'd gone from being quite a nervous little dog when I got her to being much more confident, but still very much a dog that's by my side. You want in that situation your dog to go, there's my owner, run up and sort of jump into your arms. Mm-hmm. But I just felt she'd had these, you know, sort of four nights out in you know, the countryside. I just thought she just wouldn't know what to do. And I'd also been given some really good advice from all the dog lost, from the drone people that come out, from other people that go and search for lost dogs. And a lot of them say, you know, the dogs, because they go to the very basic instincts, that, you know, they become fearful of anybody and anything, because, you know, they're just in survival mode.
Yep.
And there was a part of me that just felt like, you know, she's got such good recall. I just wanted to call her name and hope she'd come running, but I didn't want to risk it. And I thought, she's interested in me. She's coming out in the open. We've seen each other. I just sat down in the lane and I just sat there and I just watched her.
It sounds very much like this is also about managing emotions and holding your nerve and timing, isn't it?
To get this right.
Because the last thing you want is for her to run even further away and then you start over the whole search. You mentioned, in terms of practical advice, you mentioned there the drones. Now, were these just, good-willed neighbours who happened to have a drone, or are there professional companies that you hired to do the dog search with the drones?
Okay, this is a really, really important point. They are all volunteers and there are certain websites you can follow, but really tragically, and one thing that wasted so much of my time at the beginning of the search is there are businesses that clone and pretend to be members of these groups and will try and ask you for £500 to come with their drone. So for anyone who's listening that might be in this situation, you will never ever be asked to pay for someone to come and look for a lost dog with a drone. And there are volunteers across the country who will come out with all hours and fly their drones and thermal drones, and it is always free. And I really must stress that, because this is something I knew nothing about. And when you're in such an emotional state, I was almost at a point where I was being messaged by two people who were trying to just get money from me.
Yeah.
And it was just my partner who sort of said, there's something not quite right there.
Yeah.
And we researched that. So yes, the drone people will come out. You've got to make sure you're on the right, with the right businesses, and they will never WhatsApp you. That's the rule. They will just message you through Facebook, through their own profiles. So it's all very open.
Right. Okay. So it's not bilateral. It's kind of open out there, so everyone can see what they're doing. Is what you're saying?
That's it.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And this is a free service. This is something that volunteers are doing, and not people who are. And there's always a band of people, like you say, who want to see if they can take £500 away, which are trading on your emotions. So, how can people find these good-natured people? Do they have like their own, is there like a website that they all register with, or is there any kind of standard?
So you first of all register with Dog Lost and create your poster and everything. I had a group of dog walkers in my village who took a lot of that administration away and organized a WhatsApp search group as well with people, representatives from Dog Lost. They also knew and said, I think one of the website pages is called Drone SAR for Lost Dogs UK, but it's the one with 100k followers that is the authentic and original one. There are others that are replicating it, and then there's Drone to Home as well, and both businesses were incredibly helpful and kind, and the people just so emotionally invested in you finding your dog. It's incredible the support you get.
Andrea, this is turning into a really good interview, because not only are we talking about obviously a live situation that you've experienced, but also you're able to provide some very, very useful advice to anyone else out there who may be going through the same horror that you went through this week. Perhaps later, if you'd be good enough just to, because you mentioned a number of websites there, ping me over on the WhatsApp those which are legit, okay? And we will add those links to the episode, which will be a podcast that will run this evening on London Scotty Radio. And then people can just use those links and they'll know they're going through to the bona fide, genuine article,
yes,
and not to someone else who wants to scam them. Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, that's fantastic news. Now, just bring us right up to date. So 5th of July beckons. In those early hours, you find Tinker. An amazing moment. But of course, it's not over yet, is it? You then did the right thing. You took Tinker to the vets, and just to check her over. And what bill of health did your vet declare?
Well, she was. So the other thing was, as soon as I was able, she came right to me, to my leg. And it was only when she was touching me that I was sort of grabbed her, if you like. I obviously had a lot of chicken with me, and she just gulped it down. I've learned now that's not the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
That actually a dog that has been starving, if they suddenly eat a lot, it can cause quite a few problems. So that's another important thing to know.
Yeah.
And also, she drank in volume. But I got her to the vets. We found her at, I think, 5:30 in the morning. I got an appointment at the vets at lunchtime. She was very dehydrated. She was very bony. They have sort of, their stools are sort of compacted as well. And she had sort of sore eyes and sore feet and was covered in teasels. So yeah, the vets put her on a drip. We didn't know if we would get her home. But I kind of said to the vets, I think I just really need her home. If she's well enough, I just need her to be in a bed near me. I don't want her to have another night in a strange place. So I was able to collect her from the vets at 7 p.m. last night. And she had a lovely time at home in a brand new bed, because her old bed is out in the countryside somewhere. And she's had a lovely, lovely long sleep. And she's been snuggling up with the two other dogs that I have here. And she's a little, she's not quite as perky and as confident. So, you know, she's sort of regressed a little bit in terms of her timidness. But I expect over the next few days and weeks, she'll be back to her fancy self.
Yeah, she'll get her confidence back. She'll get her mojo back and she'll be back on form. Well,
yes,
we very much hope the same. And it's great news. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you today, Andrea. We obviously hope for the very best going forward. And thanks again for being our guest on London Scotty Radio.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to London Scotty Radio. This and all our podcasts are available online at londonscotty.club. If you liked it, be sure to subscribe to us from your favourite podcast player app. Also visit us on YouTube for fun videos. And if you have a Scottish Terrier in London or nearby, be sure to join us.